I had a thought there, Emil.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention briefly the prophetic word.
Okay.
The prophetic word and the fulfillment of that word. That you live in a world today where there's all kinds of visionaries and people, and they're saying all kinds of things. But this should have been no surprise to the people of God, because God's word said this is what is going to happen. And this is exactly what we see fulfilled. The Old Testament, how many prophecies are there as to the birth of the Lord Jesus and where he would be born? I'm not sure the number on, but I know this, that it is absolutely full, and they found it just as God said. I just want to read before we go on over to that. Let's just look again and just let your mind think of what this might have been. To me, this is a good exercise. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. You think of that. This is out in the fields where the cattle are. You see, this is with the shepherds that are there. And stop and think of what this moment of glory. The world has never seen this again. It's never been expressed over again. A multitude of the heavenly host praying and of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. It could only come from he who would become a man. On earth, peace. And this then, good will toward man. You see, God is for man. Satan is against him. We've heard that. And this is the wonder that God loves man. He loves that one that is a rebel, that is without strength, that is lost, that is blind, that can't see around the corner. This was you and I, wasn't it? We that were by nature children of wrath. God loves us. How much? What's the measure of his love? That he sent his own son into this world to save us.
This is the introduction, as we've been saying, of this second man. And now we have a Savior. Matthew chapter 1, thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's his earthly name, his name given to him as a man in this world. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Here we have, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Prior to this, did they have a Savior? No. They had the law. They had the prophets. They were under judgment. Now there was a Savior, a man who was going to bring salvation and redeem men back to God, restore this relationship that fell there in the Garden of Eden, that death came in, and now give a way to bring man back to God, restored through a new man, a Savior.
Take us on to Luke 4, Emil.
Well, so now we have this man that we have that God have introduced, God's man. And for 30 years, this God's man were living in this scene here. We don't really know much. The scripture didn't tell us much about what happened there. But before the eyes of God, God was looking, and Satan was looking too. Every word, everything the Lord Jesus have done as a man here was in perfection. Man approved of God. And that's why when he went to be baptized, 30 years after he lived here on earth, the heaven opened. And the voice of the Father said, this is my beloved Son. The first time heaven would open, not to bring judgment, but to bring the voice of God announcing blessing and announcing delight in a man. And that was in the Lord Jesus. When the Lord came to speak with Adam, there was no delight, there was no pleasure, there was fear, there was hiding, none of that at all with this man. Approved of God, tried by God all the way. Go ahead, Johnny.
Tie into that, because when we were back in Genesis chapter 1, okay, man was created, okay, God created, it was very good, Man was created, it was very good. And after man was created, what happened? After that proclamation of being very good, what happened? That's when Satan got active, right? And that's when the fall came. And then to tie into here, thou art my beloved son, and thee I'm well pleased. That's the proclamation now when the heavens were opened, like we had in Genesis 1. Is very good. Here is the proclamation of this second man and the pleasure of God in him. What happens next?
So Satan got a little bit nervous. So wait a second here. We're having a problem. There is a man here for 30 years that I could not trip. Even when he was 12 years old. Now, there is nobody in this room that's 12. Right? Good, because these 12 years old are a little bit bratty usually, right? they think they know it all, right? Remember when you were 12, long time ago? You think you got it all. Now, here's a 12 years old sitting in a temple, sitting in a Bible study like that, not running to the bathroom every 5 minutes, not writing a note to those who are sitting next to him, not falling asleep, not saying, oh man, what time is it now? What are we going to have for lunch? Not looking at the girl sitting next to him, she said, does she really like me? Or not sitting, thinking of the boy sitting next to him, I said, why is he sitting next to me? None of that at all. He was sitting in the temple, asking questions, giving answers. Well, there's no 12 years old that do that at all. That's just a slip. And Satan was trying for 30 years to get this perfect man to trip. Nothing at all. And the scripture just opened up a little in Luke chapter 2, and tells us how he behaved. He was occupied with the Father's business. That's what was consuming all his life. Now Satan said, we're having a problem. Now, not Houston, we have a problem. Headquarter in hell, we have a problem here. We have a man here that is going to ruin everything. I tripped everyone. Let me go get all my full force now. Listen, he's in the desert and he's hungry. He didn't eat for 40 days. Now he's very weak. I am going to get him and punch him 1, 2, 3, and I will knock him down. And let's see what happened in the wilderness. Go ahead, Chuck.
No, I'm listening. You're doing well.
I said enough.